It is Friday, September 18th. Rosh Hashanah begins tonight. Happy New Year. I'm Sam Cedar.
And I'm Lucy Steiner. Which one of these stories will you be talking about today?
Donald Trump faces yet another claim that he sexually assaulted a woman. His accuser says she wants her daughters to know it's not okay to treat women the way Trump does. Meanwhile, it turns out the United States Postal Service had a plan to send free masks to every home address in the country, but guess who put the kibosh on that idea? And lastly, is Attorney General Bill Barr climbing down into the bunker with Trump? He's now openly at odds with Justice Department prosecutors and the head of the FBI.
You're listening to Majority.fm's AM Quickie, and these are the stories you need to know.
Yet another woman has come forward with an allegation of sexual assault by Donald Trump. Amy Doris told The Guardian that Trump assaulted her when she was 24 years old and he 51 and married to his second wife, Marla Maples. The assault allegedly took place outside the bathroom in Trump's VIP box at the U.S. Open tournament in New York. It was September 5th, 1997. Doris had been invited there by her boyfriend at the time, who was in real estate and friendly with Trump. When she went to the bathroom to adjust her contact lenses, Trump followed her and waited outside. She told The Guardian that Trump, quote, shoved his tongue down my throat and I was pushing him off. And then that's when his grip became tighter and his hands were very gropey and all over my butt, my breasts, my back, everything. I was in his grip and I couldn't get out of it, end quote. She added that she pushed Trump's tongue out of her mouth with her teeth and may have hurt his tongue. Doris provided The Guardian with evidence to support her account, including her ticket to the U.S. Open and six photos showing her with Trump over several days in New York. The newspaper says her account was also corroborated by several people she confided in. They include a friend in New York and Doris's mother, both of whom she called immediately after the alleged incident, as well as a therapist and friends she spoke to in the years since. Doris now lives in Florida. She is 48 years old and a mother of twin daughters. It was for their benefit, she said, she decided to come forward now. Trump, of course, denied the assault through his lawyers. A huge trove of U.S. Postal Service documents obtained by the Washington Post shows that the agency was ready to help fight the coronavirus pandemic in a big way, but then didn't. In April, the documents show, U.S. Postal Service leaders prepared a news release announcing plans to distribute 650 million face masks. That's five masks for every household in the country, for free. The plan would have ensured they got sent to the hardest hit areas first. But Trump's White House nixed that helpful idea, as it is wont to do. The internal documents came to light thanks to a Freedom of Information Act requested by a watchdog group called American Oversight, which shared them with the Post. The info hall comprised nearly 10,000 pages of emails, legal memos, presentations, and other documents. The papers mostly spanned March and April before Trump's flunky, Louis DeJoy, took over the Postal Service. The documents also show tense negotiations with Amazon, internal appeals by mail carriers who were fearful of exposure to the coronavirus, and attempts at partisan subterfuge by the Republican Party. But the aborted plan to distribute masks by mail took all the headlines yesterday. One administration official told the Post that there was concern from the White House Domestic Policy Council and Vice President Mike Pence's office that mailing out masks might create a panic. I wonder, a panic of maybe the stock market?
Majority.fm's AM Quickie is fueled by JustCoffee.coop. Just Coffee is a worker-owned coffee roaster based in Madison, Wisconsin that has sponsored the Majority Report for nearly a decade. Check out their collection of fair trade roasts, including our own Majority Report blend. And regardless of what you order, receive 10% off your order when you use the code MAJORITY at checkout. And all shipping is free. That's coupon code MAJORITY at JustCoffee.coop.
There are some signs lately that Trump's key allies and enablers, among them Attorney General Bill Barr, are increasingly isolated. For instance, Federal Bureau of Investigation Director Chris Wray testified to the House Homeland Security Committee yesterday and directly contradicted Barr on a matter of fact. Barr has portrayed Antifa as a dangerous extremist group, but when asked about it under oath, Wray said that Antifa was, quote, not a group or an organization, it's a movement or an ideology, end quote. He added that racially and ethnically motivated violent extremists were responsible for the most lethal attacks in recent years, with white supremacists making up the largest portion of those killings. This, as reported by NBC News. Barr was under fire yesterday for his comments equating pandemic mask mandates to slavery. House Majority Whip James Clyburn yesterday said Barr's comparison was, quote, the most ridiculous, tone-deaf, god-awful thing I've ever heard, end quote. And Barr lashed out at his own staff this week, comparing some of them to preschoolers and likening his own Justice Department to a trade association for federal prosecutors. He made those comments in a speech at Hillsdale College, a right-wing college in Michigan, on Wednesday. Another sign of White House allies adopting a bunker mentality, acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf, who incidentally was found to be illegally serving in that position by both the Government Accountability Office and a federal court, was a no-show at yesterday's House hearings despite having been subpoenaed. Committee Chairman Benny Thompson, a Democrat from Michigan, said Wolf's decision to ignore a subpoena should appall every member of Congress. Good luck with that.
And now for some quicker quickies.
Quicker quickie.
Graduate students at the University of Michigan voted to end their 9-day strike, returned to classes yesterday. University administrators this week sued the Graduate Employees Organization over the strike. The union represents about 2,000 students who teach classes or assist faculty. Per the Associated Press, the union says it achieved critical progress on childcare options, coronavirus testing, and concerns about campus police. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court yesterday knocked the Green Party presidential ticket off the ballot on the grounds that the candidates did not submit signed filing papers in person as required by state rules. The decision means election officials can resume preparing ballots for delivery to voters. Separate rulings favoring Democrats, the court allowed for voters to submit ballots via a drop box in addition to the postal service, and partially blocked a Republican plan for partisan poll watchers. During an anti-Trump protest in Washington, D.C. in early June, the military apparently considered deploying an experimental heat ray against peaceful crowds. The news emerged via the Washington Post yesterday thanks to a whistleblower in the D.C. National Guard, Major Adam DeMarco, who testified to Congress in July. The weapon, called the Active Denial System, was reportedly not used in Iraq or Afghanistan on account of ethical and safety concerns. The Financial Times reported this week that the King of Thailand has built up a large fleet of 38 helicopters and airplanes, including 4 fighter jets. The king is a billionaire who spends a lot of time at his estate in Germany. The revelation comes as student protesters and opposition politicians grow bolder about challenging the increasingly unpopular monarchy, which is protected by lèse majesté laws banning criticism. It's unclear why the King of Thailand needs his own private air force. Maybe, like Elon Musk, he just really hates traffic.
Quicker, quickie.
That's all for the AM Quickie. Join us live this afternoon at noon on the Majority Report, or later as a podcast, our guest on this Friday, Virgil Texas.